This is Rabbi Leib Baron, who will give us his impressions and recollections of Reb Aaron, starting from the time he was in Europe.
Well, I'd like to tell you this story about what I heard from somebody in Montreal. I'd just like to tell you a story that I heard in Montreal about Reb Aaron Zochen Tzadik Livracha. I had a class, a group of Balabatim who Shabbos before Shkira to learn in Yankiv. One of them was from the same shtetl, from Switzerland, where Baron's father was the Rav. Now he told me a very interesting story. He said to me, I am exactly the same age like Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron is now going to be 70, and I am going to be 70. It was in the last, before he passed away. And we went to the same Melamed Aleph again. I was 3 years old, and he was 3 years old. I was an average Talmid. But Reb Aaron used to ask a lot of questions at the age of 3 on Chumash. He learned Chumash already. Then one day, Melamed Aleph said to him, go to Yeshiva. I don't have no answers for your questions. Go to Yeshiva. 3 years old. His questions on Chumash, the Melamed Aleph couldn't answer all the questions that they asked on Chumash. And he suggested he should go to yeshiva because his answers should be answered in the yeshiva. Now, when Reb Aaron came to Montreal for a campaign for the yeshiva in Lakewood, at that time they had about 65. I was in Lakewood for half a year. I had a job with Reb Aaron to organize the hotels. And I'm very proud of that I was a big help for him to organize the hotels, that the hotels should be more active to do something for the yeshiva.
How did you come in contact?
My job was at that time, he used to arrange with certain hotels, I should be able to speak on Shabbos at Shalashudis, and Sunday morning I used to come and try to collect as much as I can for the yeshiva. That was my job. And I was quite successful. He appreciated what I have done. I'll tell you so soon what happened once. Then this man, his name was Wilhelm Korn, he was a tailor. As I mentioned before, he was in the same kite with Reb Aaron at the age of 3, the same Melamed Aleph. And as a matter of fact, the Melamed Aleph I knew, he moved to Montreal from the shtetl, and he became a teacher called the Hebrew Academy. When I came to Montreal in 1948, he was an old man, he was already in the 80s. Then somebody told me, you know, this is Reb Aaron's Melamed Aleph. He was the Melamed Aleph Reb Aaron, Aida Ben Tere. Then when he heard, I told him Reb Aaron is coming here for a campaign, Zuchta, I want to see him. I want to see him, Zuchta. I was together with him, we didn't see him for ages. I was together with him in the same kite, and I remember what kind of a child he was at that time, a genius. Then he went.
This is the Melamed, not the Melamed
died after that. Okay. When he came, the Melamed was dead. Was an old man, very old, was retired. The tailor, William Korn, was his name, he was a kid. He was a fair family, they all came from Switzerland. And I arranged that Reb Aaron should stay with a certain family, and I assured him that the kashas, he should not, there's no doubts about the kashas. Of course, I made sure that she buys only from blood kosher. And I was also invited, and I ate together with him at the house. Since he was a guest, I was a guest too. Anyway, then he came to see him. For me, it was very interesting to find out what happened. Then when he came to the next shir of a Yankiv, I asked him, "Mr. Kohn, what happened?" So I'll tell him what happened. I came there and I told him, "Rebbe, I am for Swisslerich." We went to the same Malamed Adike. We are exactly the same age. I know your age, Rebbe, because I know my age. I came to see you and I want to give you a contribution for the yeshiva. He gave him $100. At that time, $100 for a tailor, it was a lot of money. The Canadian dollar was higher than the American at that time. So in the Obama, when he started to talk about the shtetl, he said to him, tell more. So the Rebbe, what can I tell you? You became a goyim and I'm a postarit. So the moment I said a postarit, the Baron looked at him with his eyes. He stared at him. A yid was git gelt up there as a postarit? Then when he told me the story, I learned Reb Baron admired, he respected a Marzik Tere, Valdik. And then when I was in Lakewood, I reminded myself, he told me once, I bought him once $100 from a Balabos from out of town, from Freehold. I bought him $100. He stayed in a hotel and I became a friend with him. And that's how he got money, not only from local people, you know, but people that came, the guests, I used to become friendly with them, especially when I found out he's a Litvak, a kind of a landsman, then I used to get money from them. They liked me and I used to get money. Then whenever I bought him $100, up to $100. So yes, I didn't have any problem. He said to me, "Rab Baron, if you feel that with me, you could get $100 from somebody, if I go with you, tell me and I'll go with you." How much he admired the Marzik Tere. Then I said to him, "No, Sinitra Oshiva." "I'm a young man, a younger man, Zayir, just get married. I don't mind, Zayir, to do that. I'm very happy to do that, Zayir, to help out as much as I can. But it's not for you. Not for you." No, I don't want it. I told him. Anyway, there was a man in Montreal, a Balabos, the name was Rabbi Yosef Zak. I don't know if his children are still alive, but the youngest one is David, used to come to learn to my place. He was a minor Aguta Prime, this Rabbi Yosef Zak. Since he was a Slabodker, and I was a mirror, he used to admire me, you know, I was very friendly with him. And from time to time I used to visit him, just to spend some time with him. He used to help me out as much as possible. Then he told me once a story about Reb Baron. Reb Baron was a Slabodka in his time. He was a Slabodka Talmid. He was two Balabatim in Montreal. Ex-Talmid was Slabodka. But there was still a connection, you know. Spiritually, there was still a connection. One of them, Yankel Levitz of Hedel Vofa, used to collect a whole year for Slabodka, a whole year. Then they honored him in New York, the society. They had the Slabodka's for band. Mm-hmm. They honored him, and I was the speaker. He wanted me to go and speak on his behalf. He told me this story. The story is very famous, but he happened to be in Slabodka when it happened. So Trebao was 14 years old. He was a short one, that's what I did, a short, you know. Mm-hmm. And a Ingele, but he was known as Slabodka Darilu. Mm-hmm. And he didn't reach the table, you know, with his head he completely. And he used to sit like this, mm-hmm. on the bike with the fish, mm-hmm. with Lana Vetagibora. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the fish with the bunk. Mm-hmm. Then once Rabbi Simcha was in Slabodka. Simcha was, he used to admire Rabbi Simcha, you can imagine. I know that was a story, because he told me a story, the Shabkat of Simcha he admired. He never spoke about other Gdelim, but Rabbi Simcha, whenever he mentioned this, like incoming, he admired Rabbi Simcha. Rabbi Simcha said a shir, he was invited to say a shir, he was a guyan, a guyan elum. Then he prayed to Akashi, in shir, in the middle, mm-hmm. say on the bank, and he says, na ingele. Rabbi Simcha had them gentered. Et du gehst dich direkt weiter an Kasche und dem Enzer. Sogt der Ingele, du hast dich genommen an Kleb. It means you made a good impression on me. Now I hope to be happy. Das ist der Messie, ich sagte, er, he was there when this happened, die Meise. I heard the Meise from somebody else. But it just happened that he, this Rebbeisim Sachs, was there at the time. This is the no doubt in my mind. Tere is Rabban in America.
What year was this when you came with the 65? So what was the year? What date was it?
What do you mean 65?
What year was it?
What year?
When you came to Rabban, what year was it?
This was in 1947. Yeah, 1947.
Uh-huh.
I got married in 47 and uh-huh. I came right after, a short time after I was married, I was there. Then I was sitting at a table, Rabban was saying Tere.
Yeah.
No, ich wollte reimischen, sag ein bisschen. Then I asked him something, what he thinks, what should be in this case, he answered. So then it's similar, the case, what the Shiva says with him case, to where the difference. Then it says the difference. But the difference, I couldn't understand, I couldn't. There's a chiluk. There's a chiluk. No, there's no chiluk. There's no chiluk. According to him, there is a chiluk.
Uh-huh.
Then I asked him again, but I noticed, you know, Rabban, when he said as for, he was so convinced that he's right, that he didn't like to lose this war, you understand? Uh-huh. His war didn't like to lose it. What should you do, over Rabban? Then I asked again, I noticed he's like a jiggle jump in him. Then I figured, no more, I don't ask him anymore. Rabbi Schneer was sitting near me, it was a chosid that of Dr. Ableib. I think you're right. Ask him again. I thought, you know, because the Rina was familiar to me about the Chaglom Varuchon and Yevomis. It was the Yevomis, Yevomis the Kadin. And I remember the Gemara quite well. At that time, I remember that time. So Rav Schneer, I don't ask anymore. If you want to ask. Then he asked him. And he jumped up. So Rav Schneer said, was he has. The Tatzel is under him. He doesn't like when he's. You know that when he thinks he's right something, he fights for the right. Now, you know, somebody told me, now I mentioned to you, I told you this story. Now I heard a similar story from somebody else, exactly similar. I told you the story about when he finished the campaign and we helped him out. My brother was a Talmud of his, he got smicha from him. And I was there in Lakewood for a while, and I became very close with him. And I have a skome on my say on my nesforum from him. Then of course I was very close with him. And he used to introduce me to Balabati very, on a highly, highly standard, you know. Then I was walking with him and I heard, and he was in Israel, do something for the good of his soul, they should get more, you know, in the election, they should win more seats there. And in Montreal, there was a rumor circulating among the Satmer that Belvele was against going to the world to the election, because of Sitra Deach. You know, the Satmer was against Sitra Deach, which I did not agree. I told some people that, look, the Satmer is a out of God. But I don't agree with him. In that respect, I don't agree. I have a lot of articles by name. I have to show now to say, Yad Hashem, if no Eretz Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael would be finished. We needed a boost, the Klal Yisrael needed a boost. That's what I said. in one of my articles, and I spoke about it in South America. If the Klal Yisrael wouldn't have got their boost in 1948, when we got Israel, we wouldn't have any Balashuv in America. The Balashuv movement in America is a result that we got back our country. And it's a kind of a pride that people started to think about it, and that's what we have a yeshiva movement in America. The Prime Volozhiner, it's a Yehudi Kizach, the Prime Volozhiner, I published this story. This is very interesting to mention. The Prime was a Talmud of the Vilna Goyim. Then once it came into his mind to open up a yeshiva Volozhiner. Up to that time, after Volozhiner, they had no yeshivas in Litvin. There was no yeshivas. They learned with Gdelim, a couple of Alabatim here, a couple of Talmidim here, over a organized yeshiva, with a Rosh Yeshiva, with an Ole. This something they didn't have in Italy. Volozhiner was the first yeshiva that was established in Lithuania. But Reb Chaim was a Talmud of Vilna Goyim, he went to Vilna Goyim for advice. He came into him, and he said that he has an idea to open up the yeshiva of Volozhiner. With a Rosh Yeshiva, with an Ole, with organized. So we're going, no. Going, no, it's no. But it was bothering him. He couldn't understand why the Goyim said no. He thought it's a marvelous idea, because he saw that Tere is diminishing. The Prime saw that the Tere is diminishing. That he wanted to protect Tere. That's why he wanted to open a yeshiva and raise Gdelim for the Klal Yisrael. Organized, because he felt that organized is different. There's Achayes, there's Sanbivert, Gdelim, Tevle Minsker, Tevle Minsker, and other Gdelim. He couldn't understand, but he didn't want to ask his Rebbe. The only way was to him like a Malach. They said, no, their respect for the primary going used to shake. When he spoke about the Vilna Goyim, he used to shake, like they shake it, when he mentioned the name of the Vilna Goyim. After a few weeks, he decided to go again. He came again to the Prime. He came in and he said, so the Goyim, yes, go and establish a yeshiva. He was surprised, the Prime. And he says, me kora my sovereign, I've saved my sovereign. Why did the Rebbe said no the first time? So the first time you came in with excitement, with the spilers. Wherever there's the spilers, there's Yetzer Hara, something personal. Mm-hmm. You can't build a yeshiva with Yetzer Hara. You came in now without excitement. Relaxed 100%. No Yetzer Hara. Kule Yetzer Tev going through this yeshiva. Now, Rebarde, does he reprime Volozhiner? He's there in America, he's Rebam. I know, remember when he was in Japan together with us. I met him there. He stayed in the Tor Hotel. And I came to see him a couple of times. And of course, he left before the war broke up in the United States and Japan. Then I remember he was in a rush to arrive in America. And the reason why he was in a rush, I saw it. The reason because he wanted to start in America, Tere like in Europe. Europe is finished. Forget about Europe. We have Tere in America because of Obama. If we had Tere in Europe, in Lithuania, because of Prime Volozhiner, Obama was the Prime Volozhiner of the United States. He's the one. Then, when I was walking him, take him to the train, I was walking with him, somebody else was walking. He didn't take the plane.
This was in Montreal?
In Montreal. Montreal. And he was in Montreal about a week. Mm-hmm. He made $10,000 easily. Then we helped him out. He made $10,000. It was a lot of money at that time. $10,000. It was more than $10,000 American.
Okay.
Together with Reb Aaron, you know, Zochei Letzadik Levorcha to the train.
Yeah.
Because this was customary with him that he didn't take a plane. In the local flight, he used to go by train instead by plane. Going, I said to myself, I must ask him the question. How is it possible Reb Aaron says
what
against...
What year was that?
This was in 1948. It must be in the early 50s.
Oh, okay.
And he went and he came from Israel to Montreal to make the campaign for the yeshiva. And as a matter of fact, he wanted very much. We organized a parlor meeting. But about him, he wanted I should speak, because he heard me speaking a few times in Lakewood. I should speak. So you know, for 100 years, she probably was all reading. So to know, I made a big mistake at that time. Because to speak to Reb Aaron, you have to know Reb Aaron. And we invited him. I remember he came to my home, invited him to say a shir in the yeshiva, where I was the head of the yeshiva. And he said a shir on the dorim. Then when I saw Rabbonim, and the Rabbonim came up to me and asked me I should repeat because he didn't understand what he's talking about. Because I lit not Galitzane, it was lit for them. Then I explained to him with Reb Aaron and said, I go in Elom, the Gidish Yeshir, and then with that time. Then I said to him, I'll ask him. I want to ask something to Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva went to Israel to help out in the election for the Agudas Yisrael. And here is rumor circulating that the Reb Elvele is masking with Nisat Merebim that you don't have to go to the election because it's a Sitra Deacher. You're not allowed. If I have to wish them to us, does it mean the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't agree with the Chassim Sholem? If Reb Elvele would have said it, no, definitely it's Mechayev Mir also, it commits me. Then Reb Aaron, you know, publicly, he made like making a public declaration, you know, an announcement that to me, Reb Elvele is the Goyen Gadol. And the Goyen Gadol, you have to have respect for his opinion. I told this story to somebody in Israel, Shlomo Lorenz, I told the story once. Then he said to me, Doctor, I'll tell you another story about him. It happens, Doctor, with me. So what is it? The Agudas Yisrael had a meeting in Yerushalayim once. Had a meeting. The Rabban was there too. Then something came up, I don't remember what was the problem, came up with a certain bayar, you understand? Well, Rabban expressed an opinion. And a lot of the people did not agree with him. They didn't agree. It was a kind of, you know, to Rabban, a going alone. And some people that were sold didn't agree with his opinion. Then he walked up, Shlomo Lorenz told me, he walked up to him and said to Klesker or Shive, Reb Elvele's opinion is different than your opinion. So to he comes back. I'm so here for a short sight. I'm going to see Reb Elvele now. He went to see Reb Elvele. And he came back and he found out Reb Elvele doesn't agree with his opinion, but he convinced him. So he was fighting like a lion. Before he was fighting like a lion, in connection with Reb Aaron's yeshiva, I like to tell a very interesting story that has to do with my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, the Mashgiach of Baranovich. I was a young boy, I learned there for 5 years, I grew up in Baranovich actually. And one of my rabbis was Rabbi Solyanki Lubchansky. He was the son-in-law of the Alt Navarat Kerl. And he was a Ord of Godel, and a Tzadik Yisei Delo.
What was Navarat Kerl's name?
He was a son-in-law of Abyezel. Abyezel Navarat Kerl. One of the youngest daughter, Figemalki was her name. Ah, Chachmaris. I'll tell you another story with the writer again. Anyway, then you see, normally whenever a yeshiva was established, a new yeshiva in the place, the establishment was in the shul of the shtetl. That's where they learned. But of course, when you establish a yeshiva with 30, 40, it's all right. It doesn't interfere with the balabatim of the shtetl. But when the yeshiva started to expand, more talmidim, the Baron saw that he cannot take away the shul. The shul belongs to the shtetl, you know. Klotzky was a shtetl, the mind. And he decided to make a campaign and build his own building. He made a campaign, I don't know how he made the money.
What year was that? He made a campaign.
This was, must be, I was still in Baranovich, this must be in 29 or 28, or maybe 1930, I don't know, this I don't remember exactly the year. Suddenly here there's a Chanukah Shabbos. Rabban finished the binyan, and it's a Chanukah Shabbos, and he invited all the Gdelim. Of course, the Baranovich Hanhola was also invited. Rabbi Chono and Rabbi Solyankin. I didn't have money to go. I would like to see it, but I didn't have money to go. I was a young boy. I must have been at that time, teenager. But I was always curious to find out what happened there. Somebody went. One talmid from the yeshiva went because he could afford to go. He went there. He came back and told me a very interesting story. He said, he started to dance. Now, among the Rosh Hashivas, from all the Yeshivas that came there, also Gdeli Rabbonim came. One of the Rabbonim was Shlonim Arov, Rav Pine. I don't remember his first name. I knew it, but I forgot the name. Rav Pine was there too. He was a lot of Gordon, one of the top Slabotker. He was, you know, personality. When you look at him, he's so like, he looked like a goy nail. We had a tremendous impression on people. He was there too, and he was a very clever, beside a godel, he had chokhmen or pikhas. Anyway, they started to dance. Now, it's not like in America, you dance here, you don't make the dust, doesn't jump up, you know, into the air. But they started to dance, there were dust, The dust, you know, jumped up to the air. The tongues, you know, a karahod, a daily, or Rabbi Solyankin.
A circle.
Yeah, I record. Suddenly, Rabbi Solyankin lay down on the floor. It's a very little floor, with a capote, you know. He started to roll to the people, those who danced, were dancing. Then it was in the dust, you know, in the dust, mamish. Then one Rav said, this I don't know, who is the Rav? So, was the Rabbi Shuga there? Then the Rav Pine happened to hear what he said. So, you can't even mention, you don't know him. There's a tzaddik, he said, on a pikeach niflo. So, he wants to be kaim sein, the chazal, have been savvy, baba aglev shtav dachomim, mavish. That's it, it. Now, you know, since I do mention something about him, I like to mention something else about him, because to me he's holy. The psychic is something, you know, untouchable, you know, spotless. There's no, in my judgment, he was a lot of one of the Rav Tzaddikim. Now that somebody died there, a certain, before Sudik Balabos, he was from Baranovich, but he lived in Warsaw. But he died in a forest because he dealt with wood, you know, with lumber. A rich man. But Hashem Yotero Mitzvahs. He died suddenly in the forest, yeah. in the woods. He died. Then I remember as a young boy there was a shaila about the levaye, about the kure, should he take the Warsaw, should he be Baranovich? They came to Rabbi Chono. Rabbi Chono was the pesach at that time in Der Aloche. I remember that. Then they decided, it seems to me, they decided to have shleishim for him publicly. It means that the shleishim to commemorate his name in front of the whole city Jewish community. The shul was packed.
In Baranovich,
it's a big shul, it's called the Minsker shul. Packed from wall to wall. Must have been of 1,000 people. Three speakers were supposed to speak. The Baranovich Rov, Rav David Weitzel, who was a brother-in-law to Rav Solyankin, Der Stadt Magid, Rabbi Yankiv Zhukhovich, was ein befürchtlicher Magid, he was the Stadt Magid Obachanovich. Der Rabbi Chameza took him away to Wilde, in my time. And Rabbi Shalek, Shalek was a pen mapping my voices. You can't imagine. It was a pleasure to listen to him. He said the right thing at the right time. And clearly it came out of him. I heard it many times. I caught a little bit from him the way he spoke.
I caught a little bit
the way he speaks, you know. I also tried to speak his way. Anyway, then Radovich Rov was not a speaker at those days. It was known as a Rov, the Rov is that in Branovich. Yeah. It was a great Rov, no speaker. Nobody expected anything from him. Then the Magid spoke. The Magid was the Stadt Magid. But the Stadt Magid was, it's a funny thing with him, was a tzaddik. He had personality, the way he looked. But sometimes he was successful and sometimes not. He spoke and spoke, he was not successful this time. But he was the Stadt Magid, the Rizponosi. Then he walked down from the beginning. Then Obsanki was walking up on the steps. I was standing between Balabat, my always listen to Balabat to speak about somebody. Zoktener, now we'll hear something. He was known as a marvelous speaker, marvelous. He went up. He started like this.
Unintelligible.
Like me shoot. It was a shock. I realized as a Yingler, but especially he doesn't want to insult, to embarrass the Stadt Magid. That's why he does it. But Avalabosha was surprised. So there's a Avalabosha. He thinks we don't understand. He does it purposely, because he wants that Magid should come out the best speaker. Then he degraded himself in order not to affect somebody else. Not very few. You could find one person should do a thing like that. That's what he did. I learned from that. I try to follow a little bit as much as possible. I'm only a person, I'm not a malach. But I try to follow because I knew him very well. I knew him so well. Whenever he spoke in the shul, he used to say, "You cannot learn it." Whenever he spoke in the shul, it was packed. Any shul, packed with people. But that's the way he spoke, I remember that. You cannot learn it. He speaks another 10 minutes. You cannot learn it. So Tabai Balabos, I heard him saying, I used to listen, you know, people say, I can't understand, why does he say he can't learn? I think he can learn. A Balabos, you know. Yeah. He said, I can learn it. Yeah. I can learn. That's the kind of people I met in my life, you know. Look. Rabban Kotler, there's no question in my mind. He was a goyin elom, a goyin ador, after Rabbi Orle passed away. He was a manik. Somebody told me, I don't want to mention that. Somebody told me, I don't want to mention that he died. Zokhtar, I could fool anybody in America, any role. He fooled Rabbeshe, Rabbeshe Feinstein, he fooled this one. He was especially to mislead. If it was personal, something he want to win something. So the only one I cannot is a wrong proposal. The moment I start speaking something and I want to mislead him, right away doctor he stops me. Right away he knows it's the wrong way. Then I got mad, I don't want to mention his name, the Lushunore. Because I, on account of me, he got married in Shanghai. I was the one involved. And then he did something to me a couple of times. Then I figured he became jealous suddenly. He did it in the magazine, he did it. Then I stopped talking to him. And sent back the magazine. He was involved with the magazine. I don't want to see his magazine. I don't want to know him. Well, I think... they think it's whatever okay. I told you, these spices, it's very...
Nothing yet, but you might have forgotten that you want to...
Because I told them, what they write about him there, they don't know about him.
Who's they?
It came out about Rabban Bichl in Hebrew, Rabban, but they don't know. They don't mention something special about him.
They just write a book.
Look, I got a call once. I saw in the paper they're looking for a picture of Sadako Lubchansky. Dr. Levine, the Gwena, Dr. Levine for the Agudas Yisrael.
The
Reicherov son, you know, Yitzhak Levine. Then I called him up and I said to him, says, look, I have a picture, it was his rare. I could, he says, how can I be sure I'll get it back? I want to have it. But this picture is rare. All the picture that this is for me, I have it. Dr. Rabban, don't be afraid. I'll take a, right away, I'll take a copy, make a copy, and I'll send it back to you. So, the picture of Yerayim, I consider myself a Talmud Mover from Baranovich, and he was my Rebbe. I knew him very well. So, I want to send it to Yemaimer, that somebody sent it about him. He published an over by the Gdelem that perished during the war. Then he has to have a picture, you know. All the Gdelem, we would collect the Gdelem, and that's when they got money from the Germany for that purpose.
Okay.
Anyway, then he said to me, Doctor, if so, Doctor, I want you, I'll send you the Maimar, and I want you to tell me if you have any remarks on the Maimar. Mm-hmm. But I'm thank you. And the picture I'll send you back. Anyway, I got the Maimar from him. I read the Maimar. It's a Maimar written beautifully. That's not of Tzadik. You could take out the name of Tzadik and put another Tzadik. A Tzadik Aher, a Tzadik Ahin, a Tzadik Dosh, why not a Tzadik Miller, a Tzadik? When you write about a person, you have to tell something particular about him. Right. Something special that it belongs to him and not to somebody else. I brought out that Rabbi Tzadik was a person, he was a Goyen and a Tzadik. He was hiding as much as possible that nobody should notice. This is a tzaddik and a goy. He didn't have children, psychic. Now, suddenly I see, psychic used to be in yeshiva every day. He was the mashgiach. He controlled the whole yeshiva. He was a brainer talmidim, your young boys. He was a specialist to control. Then, suddenly one day passes, psychic was not there. A second day passes, I go there, and I was already at that time the top student in yeshiva. And I walked up to somebody there, I can't understand, how come the mashgiach was not well? No. So I'll tell you tonight that you should not tell anybody. It became 10 years since Rabbi Zayn got married. 10 years. And he had no children. He walked up to the Rebbe and he said, the Rebbe said, look, you have obtained the right to ask for a divorce. Because a woman has the right to get over in the woman's. If you don't have children, even though she's not pursuing pure veribe, but she wants to have children, then you have the right. So she said, no, I want you to go to Chofetz Chaim. Noch a broche. Chofetz Chaim gave broches. Whenever Chofetz Chaim gave a broche, it was 100%. I know with a Pollock, I know a story was somebody told me. You wrote down this story. Yes, Dr. Nazim was going, so I know I'm going. It was a Polak, a nice Polak, you know, when he's a friend with the Jewish people, they invited him, an officer from the Polish army. They should go from Lydia, he went to the front. And he went there, and a few days later, he showed up. Then I was interested to know what Chofetz Chaim told him. I walked up to get to the same person. I don't remember who it was. I remember he knew. So I'll tell you what Chofetz Chaim told him. Some mitzvah zu hoben rishoyim kinder? Came home and told the Rebbeson. So select, forget about it. We're born in life without children. Talmidim are our children. When I told this story in Johannesburg, in Kilo, I had a people around me. There was a guest of Yeshua from Israel, Dr. Rabbi Berstach, the Genga Gibor. Sitach Eskiyo Amela didn't want to get married. But the Vishayinu said, I had a kashal rachmada lomali. What's it any business? Du hevst avlom kinder. So ich know there's no kash at all. Eskiyo Amela could have the children without brochus. But he didn't want because he saw Beor HaKedesh, Atom HaMenashe, HaRosh HaMerushe. He didn't want to have children. But he could have had it, that need a brochus. There was something wrong, he couldn't have children. That the Chofetz Chaim should give him a brocha, so him a roshe? What's wrong with that? Doctor, you're right. You're right, your answer is correct. Your answer is correct. Those who was Rabbi Zanke.
But you have nothing more to add on Rabban itself.
Huh? Let's see if I'll remind myself maybe more of the things I can't think of.
Yeah.
To emphasize, when you write about Rabban, how much he respected a Barzik Teiru. Not respected, admired. He had respect for Barzik Teiru like for a Talmud Chacham, the same thing. This I knew, I saw it myself. He admired a Barzik Teiru, Rabban. Somebody knows, gets money and forgets about it. For him, it's Gwaldik. A Barzik Teiru like Teiru could exist. Vorher doch das Rapose Okur und Rashal Yokum ist die Vratir Aziz. So mit der Chazal Smetli Yokum steht die Tashale Yilbe. Was ist Tashale Kaim? Tashale Yokum. So mit der Chazal, die Utope bei der Marzik Tero. That's why I see a Perloche, a Yishe, is also mit zu weg. I used to speak for the sisterhood in my yeshiva many times. And I used to prove to them that sisterhood is a Marzik Tere. A Marzik Tere. In a Marzik Teiru, a Yishe Mitzvah like a man, the same thing. Why? Because those that to the Ma'atel Meisom is Meichem. Believe they say him. But the name for Marzik Teiru is in Torah Shal Yokum. There are no man should play him, they say him. Then the Marzik Teiru doesn't make any difference, a Yishe Yishe. And I bring Christ from the Gemara. It's a Marzik Teiru, a Yishe Mitzvah, the whole Bezach. Why the Gemara is not Noshim Ba'mezach Yon? Sie sehen, dass der Mann soll lernen, die Kinder sollen lernen. Der ist gut. Ich bringe einfach eine Gemurre, seht ihr. Ich bringe einfach eine Gemurre. I have a whole mind about it. Der Inge von Marzik Tere, ich wollte den Rebam, I saw the Rebam. The way he spoke about the Marzik Tere, barely. The way he was respecting the Marzik Tere. He's like standing up for a Talmud Chacham, the same thing. There was a Mishnah Kohen, I remember, used to come to see him, was his Marzik, one of his supporters. Gwaldike der Recherzwein.
Gwaldike der
Recherzwein. Mr. Kohn, a tall one.
A different one. Not the same one you mentioned before.
No, it's a different one. At that time, he died a long time ago, probably. But I remember he introduced me to Mr. Kohn, I should know him. And I want to tell you something else. It's amazing. I was driving with him once from New York, in the same car. He was sitting near the chauffeur, and I was sitting near him. He rented a car. Then it was in 1948, the question about partition. If you remember the partition, yeah, partition, interesting. The Arabs were fighting against it.
47.
It's about 47, yeah, 47. They
were
40 years ago in Montreal.
It's
47, right.
Yeah.
Partition, this partition.
Yeah.
Then he says to me, I don't know where he got it. Now, who spoke? Shertok,
yeah.
Silver, the Reform of Rabbi, who was a Zionist, and Weizmann.
Yeah.
I remember what Weizmann said. Dr. Zimera said, you know, he participated in politics. Dr. Silver, Vamagi, Dr. Gerev. Because the Rabbi said, we are not the Jewish people.
Uh-huh.
What's when the Bible said, the Rabbi, we talk about the Rabbi, the Francis, the Francis ambassador.
Yeah.
So don't you believe in the Bible? Who doesn't believe in the Bible? How can they say they don't believe? So the Bible says that Israel belongs to Israel.
Yeah.
It belongs to Israel.
Yeah.
So they are not the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the Sfardim. They are the Kuzarim.
Uh-huh.
For the Kuzarim, doctor.
Yeah.
So the guy gives us, doctor, need the Jewish people. Then Silver was proving historically we are the Jewish people.
Yeah.
The Zamagi. Shoktov, Dr. Gret Vayingo. Ritzman. And at Bayer Ritzman, Ritzman was a Roshi.
Yeah.
He said that I eat with a board, it come in a sort of upside the board. Nevertheless, it's a Chokhman. Was he? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Ritzman got up to speak. Then I found out. What did Ritzman say, Doctor? You hear, I hear that there's a question, am I a Jew or I'm not a Jew? So if I'm not a Jew, why did I suffer 2,000 years? You pass bravo. You take vote. If I'm not a Jew, why did I suffer? Who tells me I'm a Jew? The Goy that persecutes a Jew. He tells me I'm a Jew. The Rebbe admired it. The next day, all the papers said the same thing with Rebbe. I read it myself. Shatok and Gret by Ingo,
yeah.
Silver and Gret not convincing, by Magid,
yeah.
Over Weizmann and Gret by Mensch. They are Chokhma, they are Pekir, no question. Yeah. It was a small town, up in Waterloo, a town of the Grace of Agenis.
What?
A shtetl called Waterloo, near Pinsk.
Yeah.
He went to school in Minsk. And I knew a person in Montreal that had a Megillah from his Zayde. Zayde was a safer.
Right.
His Zayde was a safer.
Yeah.
A safer.
Yeah.
But there got a Megillah from his Zayde. Who, he wanted to give a present to the university.
Yeah.
And they checked it. Then his Megillah is lying there in the Yerushalayim University. So what you know, Shach, it's $10,000. You give it a return.
It's probably more worth my back.
Those are bombs, it's the bomb.
But he was aware of everything.
5 seconds.
He was aware of everything.
It didn't take him long. In 5 seconds, it said the right thing. There was a Ingle, there was a Magid, Weizmann. Genk has you had Weizmann.
He made the same.
He didn't want to see too much miles on
Russia.
A prayer, a Schreckler.
Er verstaan wat doing.
No, maar ik weet niet, ik heb wel gehoord, ik heb wel bekeerd.
Oh, I wanted to do that.
En de Franse ambassade came up to Weizmann en vroeg hem waarschijnlijk, en die vroeg alle Israëlen, how do you expect to win? You have only 600,000 people without an army.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by millions of people, Arabs, with armies, hundreds of thousands. How do you expect to win? They didn't know what to answer. He walked up to the Franzese walked up to Weizmann.
Yeah.
Sagte, we don't have to be afraid of their armies. Sagte, why? Sagte, because their officer is too fat and the soldier is too skinny.
Yeah.
What will the downness? I come
with
the downness, and it's already. What are going? They're going up the. Kasher, the Abba, and the Chachomim, in Dvorim. And in Mishpot, we see the Sheva, the Abba, Pikrin. Frag the going, why does she know? Does it Chachomim, does it Pikrin? You know what the going says?
Yeah.
To Zayn a Dayan, you have to be a Chochom and a Pikir. Chochom is Tere, you have to know the Aloche. But a Bekeir is really down to understand the situation.
In the Baran Havri.
We were there, and also. We see that from the Mishnah Boy Basel, the last Mishnah.
The Baran Havri.
Yeah, to then a Dayan, it was very schwer, according to the Chazal. To be a Dayan. To Paschke, then, one at first is royal, at the end of Boy Basel, the last Mishnah. To Paschke, in a lot of kosher trade, you have to remember the Aloha, that's all.
Right.
Over then I die and you have to have Seichel.
Judgment.
You know the famous story about a Gordon, that somebody looked at the book of Bishas, I want to get Smiche from the Gordon. Looked, I'll see one day, I'll get Smiche. And it just happened that Gordon was doing it for the Shtetl, I know. And he went to see him. Looked, I feel the Rebbe is over for him. Yes, he made the book, he made the book, he made the book, a Gordon. You know what the God will tell him? Zokta, no, Smicha, I can't give it to you. So why? Did I didn't, is there something I didn't know? Zokta, there's a fifth Shechonor, Seichel. darf man sich leer. Kein Ulter dem, also nicht kein Kluge.
Und wo man hat das?
No, das wird immer gehen, was ein Mensch der Welt ist. Ich glaube, zu dem, der ist mir alles, für den ist mir das Nappi. Und in der Zeit kriegen es mir immer nach Gold, und ich habe mir das sehr gelohnt. Schnier. So kann ich jetzt sagen, ich habe Schnier, der Sohn von der Barnen, wenn er kommt zu Mutterjog, to make a campaign for the Yeshiva, he used to come to visit me with his, he had some, an assistant to him, you know, to help him out.
Shemaru.
Then I told him once this story with Rav Baranen, with his taten, wegen Rav Elwolen. That, the father said, if Rav Elwolen, if Rav Elwolen would have said different, he would have committed me too. Then I finished the story, doctor, he said to me, Rav Leib, Ilo Rav Bosa Rav Shul Zed Ayeno. I'm so happy to hear this story. Why did he admire the story? Again, the Tati is going to go in to recognize that the other one is the going ador, not there. Those are godly and godless families. People don't like it. People don't like to, you know, to give credit to somebody else and take away the credit for himself. Because Rabbi was a going ador. He was not well, went away. I left this world and he was the going ador. Admired the story what I told him. Admired the story.
And the issue was whether he should help the election.
That's right about election. The story that I told was really so nice.
I wanted to put it together so
yeah.
People hear the whole thing.
Yeah, but this all you put that on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much, Rabbi Baran, for your words.
But from you, the vice leader. Rabbonon, the Shidduch with Rabbaron, it's a shame,
and
I say, oh, thank you,
Lord. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for your words on Rabbaron.